Blog Talk Radio.
You got a new tattoo, and you bought a nice pair of shoes to remind you you used to be when life was something brand new. 'Cause now you sleep a little lighter at night, and you wake up when the sky gets a light, and crawl into the kitchen at dawn, and tell yourself it's alright. You swear you didn't want strings attached, and to be tethered to the telephone, but now there's no one here to talk to, and you prefer to sleep alone. All the chances that you couldn't take, mistakes that you couldn't afford to make, what would it have cost you? When you had a new tattoo, and you were only 22, you had a hole in your shirt, but there was nothing that you couldn't do. Now you stand in the vestibule, wondering how they got the best of you. Now that you do your own laundry, now that there's always something pressing you, you swore you didn't want strings attached, and to be tethered to the telephone, but now there's no one here to talk to, and you prefer to sleep alone. All the chances that you couldn't take, mistakes that you couldn't afford to make, what would it have cost you? Mama's gonna say it's okay when you call them every Monday at 9 and tell them that it's going fine. All your friends, they just exhaust you. You could've left, but where would you go off to? Oh, and what would it have cost you? So you got a new tattoo to make you feel something new, sign of a cross on your thigh, and you don't even really know why. But you're hoping that it marks the end of a time that you could just forget. So you call it a draw for the night, and you tell yourself it's alright.
Happy Monday. You're listening to The Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wildove and Grey Eyes Smith. Tonight's show is brought to you from a group on allpoetry.com, and we are called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com, so feel free to check those out and help support these shows. So tonight's show is based on a contest that Louie Wildove and myself ran, and it's called Write a Novel on My Skin is the name of the contest, and the quote goes, "I will only let you touch me if your hands are so full of attention that every brush of your palms feels like you're writing a novel on my skin." And so that's the gist of tonight's show. I'm just going to check the studio real quick and see if we have any callers. And we do. Hello and welcome to the show, Lawrence.
Well, thank you, Gray. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good.
That's good. I'm going to bring on another caller here. And I do believe that's Naomi. Hi, Naomi.
Hello. How are you guys?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, Naomi.
Good. Hi, Laurent.
I love the way you say Laurent. Laurent.
Laurent. I say it in French because, yeah, it's a really nice French name here for most, for a lot of men. So.
Yeah.
But we only have one Laurent.
Yeah.
And I'll
Okay, Laurent, I posted the first poem, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
Sure, my friend. I'll navigate in that
Thank
direction.
You.
Vivacious has written a poem called Cuddles from a Hands Free Zone. The window fan breaks ozone layer, blowing stagnant air into isolated burrow, silencing silence with mundane buzzes of electric shortages. Grandma's Afghan dangles, warming kneecap with shreds of photographs, caressing grief-stricken heartstrings, seeking stillness from intruding interference. Voltages slowly weaken, fan blades abruptly stall, loose linens gently cradled, eeriness and loneliness. Undetected artistry masterly revealed a magical revolution when it tickled a feverish bone. Long ago, lost in a forgotten illness of buried treasures. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful read, Lauren. And, you know, this is a touching poem. It's very emotional. You know, it's layered and it's deep. You know, metaphoric and very introspective as well. I really liked it. You know, it had an excellent flow to it. Undetected artistry masterly revealed a magical revolution when it tickled a feverish bone. Long ago lost in a forgotten illness of buried treasures. Beautiful, right? And what did you think, Naomi?
Oh, yeah, like you said, very poignant write here. And, you know, a lot of emotion flows from these lines here. I just love how she opened it up with, you know, the metaphor. You know, she has so many beautiful metaphors throughout this. But window fan breaks ozone layer, blowing stagnant air into his isolated burrow, you know, silence with mundane buzzes of electric shortages. Wow, you know, starts out really there, really strong, you know, and this is strong and powerful all the way through. Just a beautiful, beautiful right here.
Thank you, Naomi. And Laura, what did you think?
Well, she plays with silence in a very interesting way throughout this piece, silencing silence with mundane buzzes of electric shortages. Sometimes silence can be loud, and it needs a little something. And she seeks stillness from intruding interference. In other words, things that bother you loudly, somehow you need to extract silence from them. I like the way the fan blades abruptly stall, slowing down. That fan, which was blowing stagnant air, is an isolated burrow. She plays with loneliness in a very interesting way. As Naomi said, it's metaphors and this are excellent, very moving. Melancholy piece, I think.
Thank you, Laura. Great comment. And I'd like to welcome Louie Wildove to the show. Hello, Louie.
Hi, Gray. Hi, Laurent. Hello, Naomi.
Hello.
And I see that there's Francisco and Sapphire Rose in the group, and I don't know who else is here. Phil, hi, everybody.
Thank you. And hi, welcome to the show. Did you get a chance to hear Lauren read?
Oh, yes, I did. I was listening to him. I mean, his voice reminds me so much of this poem. It's when you hear a certain noise, sometimes it's like something that hypnotizes you when you're listening to the fan blades or the wind or the ocean waves, where you just get pulled into it. And when you get pulled into it, all those emotions and feelings and memories just tend to just pull you back into time. I really loved where she said, "Grandma's Afghan dangles, warming kneecaps with shreds of photographs caressing grief-stricken heartstrings." You know, the things that we value and cherish from our family members or friends, and then we're just sitting there, and, you know, that fan is droning, and you're going through these photographs, and you're caressing them, and you're just remembering, you know, even though the room is so still, the images in your mind aren't. And it's just like she says here, undetected artistry, masterly revealed, and magical revolution when, you know, when all those emotions just tend to blossom and burn in liquid fire, just depending, you know, what it is.
Great comment, Lou. Thank you. Okay, Naomi, mm-hmm. I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading, please.
It's called Ever by Hope. With muscle memory, each part of my body remembers long walks, roses of champagne, midnight twilight, or dawn fading with the side my being soaking through and embracing words of patience, saturated language, straight curve of fingerprints from its love letters from your beating heart, written up there by delicate strength. Breathe into me, whisper about the paradise, hours of passion, embraces, tender silky moments embedded in the soul. Never can forget or wash away the created in me, beauty that only you could awaken. I am your body. End poem.
Wonderfully read, Naomi. You know, this poem is deep and it's touching. You know, with muscle memory, each part of my body remembers long walks, roses and champagne, midnight, twilight, or dawn, penetrating every fiber of my being, soaking through and embracing. And then in the end, I am your body of work. You know, it's just a beautiful sentiment to this poem throughout. What did you think, Lawrence?
Well, truly, this is a body of work, which refers directly to the title of, which normally relates to a painter's or a writer's body of work. In this case, she is that body of work. And I love the way she transmits it, word affirmations, saturated language, trace each curve of fingerprints from your lips, love letters from your beating heart, written up and down my delicate frame. That's beautifully done.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Lou, what did you think?
You know, when I was listening to this being read, and just such a beautiful read, right here where she writes, word affirmation, saturated language, trace each curve of fingerprint from your tips, love letters from your beating heart written up and down my delicate frame. You know, it's just those words that are said between lovers. And, you know, when you look at the love letters, it's, you remember the voice and everything And it's just like you relive these emotions again. And she says, and it proves it here, because she says, breathe into me. Whisper about our paradise. Beautiful read, Naomi. Beautiful poem, Hope. So.
Thank you, Lou. And Naomi, what did you think of the poem?
This was a cute, just beautiful, you know, flowed so beautiful, and you know, it had such deepness, word affirmation, saturated language, trace curved fingerprints from your tips, love letters from your beating heart, up and down the delicate frame. You know, that's just one example of a beautiful stanza in this, you know, it's just just beautifully written, you know, all just harped out and very just beautiful.
Thank you. Indeed. And I'd like to welcome Bobby to the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
Welcome.
You might have to unmute, Bobby. I'm not seeing her.
She might have to call back.
Oh, I've got her muted. I thought you had unmuted her. Oh, she's calling back. She must be calling back because we dropped.
Okay,
well, I've got the next one. It's like... Keith M. Drew, and I have a SoundCloud for him, so I will play that. Here we go.
Tattoo its colors, embrace all her need. The needle so deep on the pain she does feed. The closeness he paints her to want the before. But the love that once was, its existence no more. And the flower that he draws so precise on her skin, she to lie as the lamb, all her wish to give in. Why, oh why, tell me true, as this love of ours died, I did give you a child, yet you cannot beguile. I did give you my freedom, I did dance to be loved, I did pray unto God that eternal this love. Yet you shallow this life, and in all that I am, you do act as the boy, and then never the man. Why then so the rejection? Why then so not my heart? When in all that I wish, for us both a new start. I am far and beyond all you ever could know. I can see all the whys in your soul, its sorrow. All I wish is the simple of the love I can give. Please now gift me the promise that your heart did once live. So alone I will stay, always wishing the day, and the tattoo my skin is the love you can't say.
That was a wonderful SoundCloud. He has an excellent reading voice. And, you know, the poem is deep and it's pain-filled. You know, you can feel their embrace in the beginning. But that love that once was is existence no more. And the flower that he draws so precise on his skin, she has to lie as the lamb, all her wish to give in. And then, you know, the whole poem is it's deeply moving throughout. You can feel the angst and the pain in this, right? Very heartfelt. What did you think, Lauren?
The SoundCloud was masterful. That's about as good a reading as you're ever going to find of anything. I think I detected just a little bit of the Irish brogue, the Scottish, a little bit like Sean Connery, that reading. It's quite excellent. This poem really has achieved the pinnacle of rhyme and meaning that few do. Yet you shallow this life, and in all that I am, you do act as the boy, and then never the man. And then the question is asked, why then so the rejection? Why then so not my heart, when in all that I wish for us both a new start? She has eclipsed him in many ways. She's ready with her love, ready for a new start, yet she's going to stay alone. He hasn't lived up to what he needs to, despite the tattoos on her skin that he draws so precisely, and her willingness, her wish to give in, but she can't quite anymore. Fantastic piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Lawrence. And Naomi, what did you think of the poem?
Yeah, well, I think it's wonderful the way, you know, you can take the, you know, the needling, you know, that is painful when you get a tattoo done, for a metaphor of the painfulness that you feel throughout this poem of, like, this last lost love here, you know, that lingers, the wanting and the, yeah, you know, just the feeling of pain here, as you know, for this love that is gone and was so a big important part of life, of the life here. I just love the way. The read, of course, like Laurent said, and, you know, the whole poem throughout. It's beautiful, beautifully written.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Naomi. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
She's going to keep them to herself, apparently.
Hello, Lee. Oh, she's dropped. Apparently, you have two. No, you.
Can you hear me? Hello? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. You know, I was saying that I really love listening to Keith read poems and his own poetry, because with his voice, you can hear so much of what he's feeling, you know. I was just looking at that first stanza where it says, the tattoo it colors embrace all her need, the needle so deep on pain she does feed. You know, sometimes there we can love somebody, but somebody can be so broken that no matter how much love we pour into them, it just tends to spill out. You know, you try to give them everything that they want. You know, he says, I gave you a child. You know, he says that, that, you know, he drew on her skin and, you know, he just was just, for me, in some way, trying to fill her with love. And it says, yet you shallow this life, you know. So, obviously, there's some type of issue here, whatever it is. And it's, you know, but it's, he still says, you know, I'm here. All I wish is the simple of love I can give. You know, he can just wants to give her love, and he hopes that he gives her with the promise, you know, to come back, and hopefully they can live together again. And, you know, but those, you know, the tattoos of her life are on her, and in some way she's having issues dealing with life. But he's telling her, I can love you no matter what.
Yeah, beautiful comment, Lee. And I'd like to welcome Bobby the show. Hello, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
What's this time?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hi. I figured out what the problem was. The string between the tin cans was busted.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you get a chance to hear the read, Bobby?
I did. I echo everyone's comments. the SoundCloud was a superlative reading, absolutely beautiful. Of course, this man could read anything and make it sound captivating. He just did the timbre of his voice. But the piece itself, there's such torment in the words. The message I get from it, here is modified her life. It indeed has a modification of her body to try to communicate her love for this person, and despite giving herself forth in an unqualified way just to allow him to permanently imprint on her, she still doesn't feel that he realizes how deep the love is, and she's unfulfilled. She's given him a child. Give you my freedom. I did dance to be loved. And yet he doesn't recognize the depth of her commitment. And why so the rejection? He asks as the boy and never the man. He doesn't realize how much he is and how he is basically shutting out all of her commitment. This is such a deeply layered and complex piece that this is one of those sites I read it and come up with detail after detail, but it tells such a powerful story.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment, Bobby. Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up. It's by Poetic Picasso, and he has a sound card. So I will play that.
Your soft skin is like the fond caresses of the morning wind. How I yearn to feel the smooth contours of your beautiful face. Know the hidden secrets behind the mystery of your sensuality. So explore the discovery of your exquisite flesh, yearning for my touch. Your voluptuous body is like the canvas of aesthetic art. And my gentle fingers, I create the vivid colors of your eroticism, making the pores of your skin soak in the dripping ink of my kiss. And I am lost within the sweet scent of your fresh fragrance. I could inscribe upon your skin words of Poetic Picasso, awaken your butterfly tattoos with the seduction of my foreplay, induce the illustration of your shivers with the romantic whispers of the temptation of my craving passions. I could write in these chapters of love. We dance before the moon, like enraptured silhouettes, moonstruck lovers, sipping from the nocturnal dew, as we sail our vows from the moisture of our lips, our trembling ecstasy. Then becomes orchestra moans. Eres la atracción de la noche. Tu piel es el templo de mi adoración, mi diosa, mi salvaje luna, déjame desnudar tus deseos. You are the attraction of the night, your skin is the temple I worship. My goddess and wild moon, let me undress your desires. Ole, ole. In the poem,
wonderful read and a very touching, loving, devoted, inspiring poem. You know, it inspires the beauty of the connection between flesh and the desire that is written in the words upon his upon her skin, on his lips. Just a beautiful read and write, Frank. Congratulations on that wonderful piece. And Lauren, what did you think?
Well, when you take fingers with intention and marry them to love, to words that have intention, you come up with a work of art like this. Your voluptuous body is like the canvas of aesthetic art. With my gentle fingers, I create the vivid colors of your eroticism, making the pores of your skin soak in the dripping ink of my kiss. And I'm lost in the sweet scent of your fresh fragrance. What woman would not be absolutely swayed by these wonderful worlds if I, too, am lost within the sweet scent of this beautiful poem?
Well said. Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
This song is just beautiful. You know, there's something that really grasps me, something really tender and loving in those first few lines of this poem. You know, your soft skin is like the fond caresses of the morning wind. How I yearn to feel the smooth contour of your beautiful face. It's just so beautiful. You know, it draws you into the poem. Just exquisitely written all through here by Frank. Just an amazing, amazing write.
Thank you, Naomi. And Lou, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Hello? Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello?
She couldn't hear us. Hello?
How about now? Sorry?
Yep. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Okay. You know, I just want to say, Francisco, this is so beautiful, sensually erotic. There's so many beautiful things here. Like, I liked the lines that Laurent read about the kiss, and then I also liked how you said that you would awaken the butterfly tattoos with the seduction of my foreplay, and right here at this line, induce the illustration of your shivers. Oh my gosh, when somebody just makes your skin tingle in your neck and your, that release of sensation and eroticisms and the craving of the passions. And then I also found our trembling ecstasy then becomes orchestral moans. You know, I played in an orchestra and I just like, oh, that was just beautiful. Those lines and, you know, just the power of that. And then, of course, the Spanish, which is always romantic. You know, my goddess, my wild moon, let me undress your desires. Ole, ole. That was just fantastic, Francisco. And I'm not calling you Frank because this was really erotic, so it has to be Francisco.
Thank you, Lee.
Okay, back to you, Gray. You're welcome, Gray.
And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm always enraptured with Frank's verse. And I the more I hear of it, the more I'm exposed to it, the more I'm allowed to appreciate it, the more I see wonderful trends in it. It's never wanton. There's such passion, but there's always an underlying respect for a woman, for the act of love, for the sensuality itself. Never base. It's mm-hmm. always it's always elevated. It is very romantic, very subtly erotic. It is beautiful, beautiful romantic poetry.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Louis, would you mind reading for Sam Sampson?
Yes, be my pleasure. Our Story by Sam Sampson. I run my hands over your hip, so soft. Trailing behind, I tease your inner thigh, and then back again. Languid, slow, tracing letters on your shoulders, you trying to guess what each one says. I tell you I am writing our story. You chuckle. It tickles. You laugh some more. Keep writing, you say. Enough about the past. Tell me what the future holds. I may not be able to guess, but my soul will know when it's written. I laugh as the letters flow forth once more. End poem.
Beautiful read, Lou. And this is a wonderful poem. You know, you can picture all this as it happens. I run my hands over your hips so soft, trailing behind. I tease your upper thigh and then back again, languid, slow, tracing letters on your shoulders. You trying to guess what each one says. I tell you, I am writing our story. And then, you know, the rest of it is just spot on as well. It had an excellent flow, and I really like the storyline as well. Lauren, what are your thoughts?
What a wonderful way of honoring the prompt. And what a delightful little game. Tracing letters on the shoulder, trying to guess what each one says. I tell you, I'm writing our story. That's the way to attack a prompt. Doesn't need to be long. It just needs to be true to what was the inspiration, and this certainly is. Wonderful, wonderful piece.
Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I think that's an amazing comment there that by Lauren. You know, it doesn't have to be long. It's long. It just has to be true. So well. It's so well said there. I just love, I tell you, I'm writing our story. You chuckle, it tickles, you laugh some more. Keep writing, you say. You know, just beautiful. And in the end lines, but my soul will know what is written. I laugh as the letters slow forth more. You know, just this is superb write all through, you know, so hard. This piece, I think, you know, just an amazing, amazing write here by Sam.
Thank you, Naomi. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like its simplicity, straightforwardness. I like the way it reminds us, if nothing else, if no other place in the world or another time, you can laugh when you're being intimate with someone because mm-hmm. that's when everything is brought forward and there, and that's when you have no secrets. And if you can't laugh with each other, then there's something missing. And I like that it reminds us that being that intimacy also does involve laughter. And I find it charming because of that.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Lou, what did you think of the poem that you read?
You know, I just thought this was wonderfully penned. You could follow through everything that was going here. And I agree with Bobby. This is very intimate because when you've been with somebody for a while, you're able to, everything that you don't let anybody else see. And I loved how, you know, he brought out that while he's writing our story, he says, you chuckle and it tickles. And I can just imagine, you know, his face as he's watching her. This was a beautiful poem by Sam.
Well said. Thank you, Liu. Okay, Bobby, you're up next to read, please.
Okay. What up here? All right. We have Features by Avery 1421. You'd laugh at my height, call me short, bite-sized. And oh, how I wanted you to take that bite. He had almost a foot on me, perfect for my head to land right on your smooth, tan shoulder. Your chest, oh, your bare chest, had a light scar that I'd trace the tips of my fingers on up and down a million times, or at least until your heart beat faster and you shivered deeply for me. Your eyes whispered secrets that only I got to know. Your tongue told lies that only I got to know, written poetic language ancient to me, Scrackin' Big Witch, and poem.
Beautiful read, Bobby. And this is another touching poem. You know, it has the beauty of the intimacy in it as well. I thought it was wonderfully penned and excellently read, Bobby. I'm just trying to figure out what Spice deduce means in German.
Do you speak German? Speak it the Deutsch.
Oh, okay.
Bobby did a great job in reading that.
Great comment. Thank you, Liu. What did you think, Lauren?
Your eyes whispered secrets that only I got to know. Your tongue told lies that only I got to know. You know, if that's pillow talk, many wonderful things are said at that moment. And I like the light scar that were traced by the tips of the fingers. I can see that happening in a quiet moment as your fingers gently caress the flesh that was torn and now healed, just idly tracing it up and down, but doing it in a way that drives eroticism, drives the moment. That little bit really touched me.
Well said. Thank you, Laurent. Naomi, what did you think?
I love how she dives into this poem, you know, and makes it so relatable to us and so personal. You'd laugh at my height, call me short, bite size. I know how I wanted you to take that bite. She just made it so feel so real in those lines, you know. And then the lines Laurent stated, of course, were my favorite. Your chest, oh, your bare chest, had a light scar that I traced the tip of my fingers on up and down, you know. I just loved this, you know, it felt so personal as a write, so real and raw, and very relatable, I think, for a lot of women out there, you know. Just beautiful, beautiful write.
Thank you, Naomi. Wonderful comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with everybody else, you know. I liked how, you know, she was talking of the personal things that she loved about him, that, you know, that she was smaller than him and, you know, bite size, and because she's so attracted in him just, you know, just saying that would just make her want to, you know, I would say, okay, well, bite me, you know, and, you know, and then that scar, you know, scars tend to be very, we all have our different scars, and when somebody caresses them, it, you know, that's a very raw moment to allow somebody to do that, because sometimes you don't want to be touched or something like that. So I found that that trust that they have with them, and then she talks about his secrets, and she tells him, speak to me in this language, and we do. I mean, all of us love to hear somebody speak in another language and an accent, and it's just sexy.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eve. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Well, I enjoy this piece thoroughly. I like that it reminds us that intimacy isn't necessarily always sexual. Intimacy mm-hmm. is knowing the details of a person, physical, emotional, mm-hmm. knowing them and appreciating them and just for because they comprise who you care about. They are mm-hmm. part of them, and you appreciate them because they are part of them. And scars just mean that someone has lived their life, and she's appreciating the scars, and she's appreciating that he's lived his life. And I like that it's intimate in its speech. This is two people, she's talking about how he makes her feel and how she makes him feel. And that's intimacy as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next write-up. This is called Your Touch by Amethyst Moonjade. Every touch sends shivers down my spine. Every touch burns like fire to my synapses. Every touch are icy trails on my skin, raising goosebumps. I catch my breath with each touch. My breathing shudders with my body. My skin is flushed with desire as you trace the rise of my hip going up my ribs. You play my senses like a fine fiddle, and I am the strings. End poem. Well, that was beautiful. I really like the comparison of herself to violin strings. You know, when a violin is played with master, it's haunting and beautiful. Absolutely. Just wonderful, right? Excellent job, Amethyst. Thank you for penning. And Laurent, what did you think?
Well, you know, you can be gentle with a lover. You can be rude or mock roughly with a lover, but to me, somebody who can touch you gently and intelligently, knowing you, to create the kind of emotions and physical responses that we see here. Every touch mm-hmm. burns like fire, my synapses. Every touch, I see trails. And it properly touched, that can take you all kinds of very interesting places. And when you have somebody who can play another person's senses like a fine violin, you really got someone. And oh, to be the strings touch.
Absolutely. Thank you, Laurent. Great comment. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I love how, how descriptive and how, every line seems to touch, our senses, like shivers, burns, icy trails, and the goosebumps. And then you catch my breath with each touch, the shudders, the flushed with desire. And then, the comparison, the metaphor of the violin at the end. Oh, just a beautiful, absolutely beautiful write from start to finish. Just revel in this piece.
Thank you, Naomi. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
I thought this was wonderfully penned by Amethyst, and I loved Laurent and Naomi's comments. A violin or a viola or cello or base when it's laid sideways just looks like the curves of a woman's body. But to be able to play that music and to know what notes to play, what to hit. We even use our fingers to do vibrato. And when you know somebody's skin and what turns them on, it's like an aphrodisiac that it's just, you don't want them to stop. And I thought this was well written.
Thank you, Leah. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
The whole sensory piece, it communicates the language of touch so well, so descriptively, that it's true that the right lover can make your heart sing the way a maestro can make a violin sing. And I love the comparison between the two. I think it's superb.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, so we're going to head into open poetry a little bit early here. Laurent, you're up next to read, please.
All right. I guess this poem is for aspiring poets everywhere. It's called If Only Ourselves. He read the tortured writing, wincing, as if the author sought death by syllabic suicide. His poisoned pen was that convincing. Self-expression from a halting hand, roughly drawn down avenues, cluttered with inelegance of form. No rich loam, simply shifting sand. Where was the fire and flow all-consuming? The skillful notation reinforcing what the reader had been so facile in assuming present. Yet, tumbled thoughts represent our endlessness, writ on a grander scale. One must read the deeply honest in its brassy nakedness. We flay at our metaphorical skin, drawing forth a bleeding ink, disgorged from unconscious vaults, tight-licked, tight-locked deep within. Diamonds in the rough, discovering skill. The road be stony, progress hesitant. But rather that than the purpled and overwritten, which leaves me feeling ill. Despite prowess, abstraction may be unrelatable, precious to the author who gilds his cage with complexity. Verse and ego become conflatable. Tilting sidewalks and walking crows dressed in little man suits, split daydreams with a roaring flow of vicious streams of fire. We all rant in our waking daymares, flying the involved slipstream of a dozen Baroque fantasies we endeavor to translate to paper, thrilling, if only, to ourselves. End poem.
Well, you know, it takes a master to write like that. You know, you are masterfully skilled in your penmanship and your fortitude with language is astounding. Tilting sidewalks and walking crows dressed in little man suits, split daydreams with the roaring flow of vicious streams of fire. Just an epic poem, Laurent. Wonderfully crafted.
Thank you,
Naomi, what did you think? You bet. Norma, Naomi, what did you think?
I agree, you know, wholly with you, Daryl. Ray, you know, with your comment that, you know, this takes masterful knowledge of the language to write like this, you know, and a maîtrise of the language. You know, to word, to add up these words in such a beautiful, brilliant, intelligent way. You know, I just love self-expression from a halting hand, roughly drawn from avenues cluttered with inelegance of form. No rich loom, simply shifting sand. You know, I think you captured so well the emotions of a writing poet here. I think this is just brilliant all throughout, Laurent. Just an amazing, amazing write.
Merci. Absolutely. Louis, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me, Gray?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not. You know, I just love hearing Laurent read. My mind paints pictures and images as I'm listening to him read each stanza and what he's saying here. You know, young poets or just new poets, they just tend to write. You know, they just let it all out in any type of sifting form. And, you know, right here where you said, yet tumbled thoughts represent our endlessness, writ on a grander scale. One must read the deep honest in its brassy nakedness. And I thought right there, you just caught so many things. And sometimes we will forget that we were also these aspiring poets when we started writing. And, you know, of course, our writing changes because our life changes and our experience change. And I really loved, you know, where you were talking about that we flay at our metaphorical skin, drawing forth the bleeding ink. You know, so many of them just bleed on here when they first get on, disgorged from conscious vaults, tight, locked deep within, things that, you know, you couldn't say before, but you say so much in your penmanship. I loved it, Florent. Excellent poem.
Thank you.
Great comment, Lou. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I think this piece, Homeric, it is so, the words are wielded, applied with such precision, like a skilled surgeon's scalpel. Knowing where to trim, where to leave alone, how to express thought with such precision and detail. Despite prowess, abstraction may be unrelatable, precise, precious to the author who gilds his page with complex verse, complexity, verse and ego become conflatable. That is profound. And the preceding stanzas that I've already cited, we splay at our metaphorical skin, forth a bleeding ink disgorged from unconscious vaults, tight locked deep within. To describe life experience that way shows such depth of meaning that it is very profound in its observation. I think this is a superb piece.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Naomi, would you mind reading for Jack Tonkovic, please?
Yes. Sorry, I'll just get back to that page. And refresh. Okay, Whipped by Jack Tonkovic. Whipped, top tip, slop, slip, slide and glide, whip that cream, a meringue, scream, pick up steam, film a mem, sunbeam, pick up sticks, toothpicks, tons of bricks, prosthetics, tricks, don't let go, say it slow, look out below, incoming tow. Russian lies, our dogs on rugs, flea bags, rapists and thugs, kill children's mummies, pet cats, bunnies, on Easter Sunday. Jesus rose, raised the nose, but Russian lackeys, bomb babies, sniper rifle shots, shoot shoppers with hams, pie jams, potatoes. No man grasps how Mars thumbs up and thumbs down. A nursery school, Ukrainians call Russians tools, share bullets, shoot them in the derriere as they run into the sun, like Attila the Hun and Sister Mary Nun. End poem.
That was a wonderful read, Naomi. This is a bit dark for Jack, you know. It's lighthearted, but in a dark fashion. You know, Jesus rose, raised the nose, but the Russian lackeys bomb babies. Sniper rifles shoot choppers with hams, pies, and potatoes. And then Ukrainians call Russians tools, share bullets, shoot them in the derriere as they run to the sun like Attila the Hun and Sister Mary Nun. It's definitely a fantastic poem, but just a little bit different for Jack, I think. You know, most of his are lighthearted and fun, but this one's deep and dark. But I really liked it. What did you think, Lauren?
Jack always surprises lately. He can write a poem I would not have imagined him writing. This is one. He begins the first four stanzas with some very interesting phrasing and some almost stream of consciousness rhyming. But then moves into Russian lies, our dogs on rugs, flea bags, rapists and thugs. He changes the tone. He just flips everything on its head at that point, and he begins to examine what's going on in Europe and the Ukraine in words that are very, very much today. Jesus rose, raised the nose, but Russian lackeys bomb babies. Sniper rifles shoot shoppers with hams, pies, jams, and potatoes. He gives us, he offers us so many messages. Some are homespun, and then they're combined with something radical like sniper rifles shoot. He takes a little jog at the space race. No man grasps how Mars thumbs up, then thumbs down on nursery schools. Questions where money is being spent. Is it valuable to go to Mars when we have so much need here? Well, you know, personally, I think we can do both. Love the ending, like Attila the Hun and Sister Mary Nun. Great piece, Jack.
Excellent comment, Lauren. Thank you. And Louie, what did you think?
I think this was wonderfully read by Naomi, and I really like what Jack did here. This was like a dark, dark nursery rhyme where, you know, I could just, you know, these children being ripped out of their schools, their play areas, you know, wherever it is that, you know, you take children, you know, it's just the lives of these people from Ukraine, you know, it's just, and then the children are, of course, you know, they don't understand a lot of the things that are going on, but, you know, they know the bombs, the fear, the screaming, and the things that they see that are happening with the Russians just shooting everybody down, even in safe zones. It didn't matter, you know, it didn't matter if they were pregnant or a mother or children or grandfathers or people in wheelchairs. They just, you know, just shot them in the street, shot them in the back of the heads. And, you know, and yet, you know, these people that are fleeing from there and going to all these different shelters, the children still play in these cramped places that they're living in, you know, bottom basements. And, you know, they still paint pictures and they still color. And, you know, and of course it was Easter, and this, you know, should have been a time of peace. But yet, you know, the killing just for them never stopped. So, you know, I just thought this was well written, even though he kind of, it just was like a, like I said, a dark, painful nursery run and just like a nightmare, you know, like for children trying to sleep. And I can imagine that they envision all these things, these poor kids.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I agree that with you that it is a departure for Jack. It starts out fairly whimsically with a bit of wordplay that you would expect from him, because he does do that with such dexterity. But then it shifts gears in the third stanza, and then you're plunged into the realities of war and the circumstances and everything that happened around it, and the horrors of it. And when I heard Naomi read "No Man Grasps How Mars Thumbs Up and Thumbs Down," I didn't think of the space race. I thought of the god of war and how he would approve of war. But then when they started bombing nursery schools, even the god of war has his standards, and that would not have washed. And it's just, but they're digressing into so many heinous things that as he says in the last stanza, as they run into the sun like Attila the Hun. Great. He recovers his rhyming, but stays with the sobriety of the last part of it. It's almost black humor.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree with everybody. I'm just going to add, you know, that this is just such a powerful, hard-hitting write on the horrors of the war that's going on right now. And, you know, the write has awesome flow and rhyme and, you know, very, very well written by Jack here.
Thank you. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Budo, and he has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. Together as one under the cosmos that's just begun. You know, like their love is infinite and ethereal, and just a deep connection that he wrote about here. A powerful song and a powerful poem. Excellently written. What did you think, Lauren?
Less lyrical than many of his songs, and I can really appreciate that because he marries the words so well to the music. It kind of had me in a bit of a trance as I was listening to him, and I really enjoyed seeing his picture. I'd love to be at a... Is that really him playing with David Letterman on the Late Show? That's impressive. Excellent piece.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what did you think?
Yeah, I think this is an awesome song that, you know, we need in these times, and it just reunites all humankind, you know, we come together as one, we come together as one. You know, it's just a song that joins together everybody in this kind of beg for peace and love here and understanding, you know, of for all humankind. So I just love this so much.
Thank you, Naomi. Louie, what are your thoughts?
You know, I really enjoy listening to Butthole sing, and I love his lyrics because they're so soulful and they're so passionate and they're so true to so many things that we wish in our lives ourselves. You know, to me, this was like he was outside under the moon and the stars just playing his guitar and just thinking these thoughts that, you know, that he would love to walk with her under the stars in the moonlight, under the cosmos, you know, and then, you know, and then he puts more depth into it. He wants to know this person better, to be involved with them, because he says, can I hold your thoughts and take the wrongs that make them right? Can I kiss your soul tonight when you finally start revealing yourself to someone where you feel safe there? And, you know, I really love where he did say that, embrace your touch. Oh, my phone just went off. Your touch and sound and sight, you know, just to love that person completely. Excellent, excellent song, Ludo.
Well said. Thank you, Lee. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is much more abbreviated than his usual verses, but I can't help but see a parallel in the language and the sentiment between what Buddha writes and what Martha writes. It has a very genuine, relatable theme. When you read his words, you can understand how he's feeling, and you can share it. And the fact that he can put it to music just ceaselessly impresses me. I mean, I'm always in awe of musicians. But this is a beautiful piece. I like its simplicity.
Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Martha Gettle, and she has a SoundCloud.
Tattooed Youths by Martha Gettle. Babe, I want to feel you again. Drowning you skin to skin. Kiss my lips and hold me tight. Make sweet love with me tonight. I need you more and more each day. Come pull me close, it's time to play. Oh, baby, you set my soul afire as my body burns in passion's desire. We match so well, me and you, blending in tattooed youths. You feel so good holding me tight. I need your body all through the night. We blend so well together, you and me. What else could I ever need? Babe, I'm always so amazed. With just a touch, you set my soul ablaze. We match so well, me and you. Blending in tattooed youths. You feel so good holding me tight. I need your body all through the night. Give me your love, I'll give you mine. In love together for all time. Kiss my lips and set me free to give to you all you need.
Beautiful beautiful singing and an excellent song as well. You know, you can feel the longing and the passion and the desire that she has for her love in this poem. We match so well, me and you, bleeding in tattooed hues. You feel so good holding me tight. I need your body all through the night. You know, and that is passion and that's desire. Just a beautiful poem and an excellent singing as well. Lauren, what did you think?
I was delighted immediately with that first stanza. Babe, I want to feel you again, drown in you, skin to skin. Kiss my lips and hold me tight. Make sweet love with me tonight. It's right there. It's direct. Not overly forceful. But certainly, this is what I want, and I like that. She always does a great job. Did it again tonight.
Great comment. Thank you, Lauren. And what did you think, Naomi?
Yeah, well, I just love that, you know, the chorus there. We matched so well, me and you blended in tattoos, tattooed hues, you know, tattooed hues, blending in tattooed hues. Just love that line. You know, love the wording of the song. Just beautifully written, Martha here. Just love it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Naomi. And Louie, what did you think?
I thought Martha did a fantastic job in penning this. And like Naomi, I also love that line there where she says that we match so well, me and you, blending in tattooed hues. And, you know, she talks about that just his touch sets her soul ablaze. And I loved how she ended it where she says, kiss my lips and set me free to give you, to give to you all you need. So she's ready to give all that beautiful colored love and talent that she has. Love the poem and her song.
Wonderful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
Again, Martha's, she makes her rhyming look so effortless. I'm always impressed by her technical skills with her writing, but on the technical level. But on the emotional level, she always brings such a genuine message, and you there's no doubt when she writes that there's her emotion is getting put on the page, and I think that's what makes her her poetry is so relatable and so endearing, is how much of herself she puts on the page.
Absolutely, thank you, Bobby. Great comment. Okay, Naomi, I've got to put your poem up next if you don't mind.
Okay, this is called If Only. If only my words were snarls of smoke spiraling, a scarlet steam from blazing manes and tails, as a thousand thundering hooves race across ravaged land, igniting ashen eyes with glowing asteroids of hope. If only my words were the softness of a silver rain sparkling upon sunken smiles amidst the devastation of the born world, baby's broken steel and comfort. Words so strong they echoed like the wind howling through the rooms, breathing light into shadowed hearts, enticing them to dance and sing once more, if only, and poem.
Beautiful read, and a touching poem full of, you know, a desire to uplift your fellow man, if only. You know, I thought it was just a beautiful poem, beautifully penned poem, fantastic from start to finish. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, hats off to Naomi for this one. I love the way she begins with words that are later applause in the my words were. It begins with almost a pause because it then moves into alliteration, excellent alliteration, which she does in the first two lines of each, first two stanzas, snarls of smoke spiraling as scarlet steam from blazing manes and tails as a thousand thundering hoofs raced across a ravaged land. You know, the image of that incredible dust storm behind, those hooves appearing as smoke and yet spiraling scarlet steam. It's such a wonderful image. It's a red image. It's a strong image, which I really like. And then you do pause it again. Only my words were. And then again, the alliteration, the softness of a silver rain sparkling upon sunken smiles amidst the devastation of a war-torn world. I like the rain and devastation. It provides a nice unity. Moving into the third stanza, where it's so strong, like the wind howling through the ruins. I mean, that is such a strong image. It's always been one of my favorite images. Hey, nice job on it.
Thank you, Lauren. Great comment. And Louie, what are your thoughts?
No, we can't hear you.
No, we can't hear you, Louie.
I really enjoy listening to Naomi read her poem. It brought so many different images. Thank you, Laurent. And, you know, because I can see this in you, this horse with the flaming hooves and hair. You have that strong personality where, you want your words to be heard. And then, you know, you talk about how that stanza that Laurent was talking about, of the softness of silver rain sparkling upon sunken smiles amongst the devastation of a war-torn world. You know, when we see things like this, we want so much to help and to do something and to participate and, you know, tell these, you know, want to tell them that, you know, we see you suffering and, you know, that I want to comfort your broken spirits and, you know, tell you sweet whispers so that that calmness and the fear and the safeness they can feel once more. But, you know, a lot of these places are so far away, but it doesn't mean that we don't love and feel for these different nations that are going through such difficult times. This was very empowering, very loving, and your strength shows through here, Naomi.
Thank you.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
I don't like to overuse the word powerful, but in this case, it definitely applies. It's a very strong piece. The structure of it lends to the way it's read. I especially like the profound contrast drawn, Naomi, between the nature and rain and the devastation of war, as though nature takes no notice of what man does and continues on her way regardless. And I found that contrast deeply moving and very profound, the way you've drawn that picture, as you see this gentle rain falling on this war-torn devastation. And the word picture that you painted with this is just absolutely stunning. This is a superlative piece. You've done a very fine job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great comment. Thank you, Bobby. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Naomi?
Oh, no. It's okay.
Okay. Lou, you're up next to read, please.
Okay. I have to refresh. Just a second, please. Is it by Daniel Love's Blessing by Daniel Duhaime. From the core of my heart where you dwell, in the surreal realm of love that only I can see with my inner eyes, my ears resonate with the sound of your heart beating like an echo to my soul, encapsulated by your love. No vision is more beautiful than to see you before me. Every breath I take is another reminder of you. Without you, I would wilt and die like a lily in the field, never finding substance to keep my heart beating. No flower upon this world can compare its beauty to you. Because when you were conceived, Athena sent her blessings towards you. Even the stars of the night are dull in comparison to you, because your light shines in the twilight of space as a beacon of illuminating loveliness. End poem.
That was a beautiful read, Lee. And this is a touching poem, you know. From the core of my heart where you dwell is the surreal realm of love that only I can see with my inner eyes. You know, there's an ethereal connection in this poem that shines through brilliantly. Even the stars at night are dull in comparison to you, because your light shines in the twilight of space as a beacon of emanating loveliness. Yeah, just a beautiful poem. What did you think, Laurent?
I think that Monsieur Duhaime did a wonderful job with this. I especially love No Flower. No, that's not. Oh, yes, no flower upon the world can compare its beauty to you, because when you were conceived, Athena sent her blessings towards you. I love that, the idea of one of the goddesses bestowing her grace on that individual. Also, the line, no vision is more beautiful than to see you before me. There's no strong sexuality there. It's just the conveyance of that wonderful satisfaction and almost breathtakingly so, that we feel when we see the person who we love before us. Beauty is relative, always in the eye of the beholder, but when you love them, it doesn't matter what looks are, they're beautiful. They're always great poem.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Laurent. Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, at the beginning when I, you know, first listened to this, I thought he was talking about his child, or because when you were conceived, Athena sent her blessings towards you. But then I hear Laurent's comment, and you know, I tend
right,
to.
You could be right, Naomi.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I tend to lean more for a lover, but you know, the way he talks about, you know, the lilies of the field, and you know, the way he just looks at her in such a beautiful way. You know, this is how I'd look at one of my children or one of my grandchildren here. It's just such a tender and loving piece. As a way, just so beautiful.
Great comment, Naomi. Thank you. And, Lee, what are your thoughts?
Am I still muted?
No, you're okay.
Okay. You know, now that I was just listening to everybody, you know, this is, you know, like I've said before, why I love poetry, because I love to hear the inner thoughts of the other people who are reading the same poem. You know, for me, this was a very intimate poem, because it says that in the core of my heart is where you dwell, and that, you know, this person that only I can see with my inner eyes. You know, there is that deep, secreted intimacy that you allow your lover, your mate, your pal, your boyfriend to see that you don't allow other people to see that, you know, that intimate person that we are that we don't show to everybody. That's very personal. And then, you know, I also love that that her soul is, you know, that like an echo to my soul, encapsulated by your love. No vision is more beautiful than to see you before me. How, you know, just looking at that person. And, you know, I think Bobby one time in one of her poems that that she had written, that intimacy that is between a couple, that's what I was thinking of when I read this here. And, you know, and I really loved Laurent's comment and Naomi's in reference to Athena. But, you know, what I, you know, it's just that when you love somebody so much, nothing compares to them. You just light up, and they're like the water to the lily, the breath of life, the nourishment to the soul. I thought this was beautiful.
Well said, thank you. And Bobby, what did you think?
This is it's a romantic piece. It's very passionate, but it's also very reverential, and it reminds me, it's like you are so deeply in love with someone, with this other individual, that words fail you, and it's almost like throughout the poem, the writer is searching for comparisons to how exalted this person is in their estimation, and it's like they cannot find a comparison that is elevated enough to satisfy them. Nothing compares to how they feel. Not any description, and so they've done the best they can with words, but the words don't equal their feelings.
Well said. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, Bobby, you're up next to read, please.
Okay. Aaron. Sweat. Diffuse their surroundings, cloaking their microcosm in a soft gray velvet, softening the edges of everything in the room. The warm, moisture-laden breeze wafted through the open windows, making the air in the room feel like bathwater. His fingers gently began tracing something, slowly, into the thin layer of perspiration covering her back. She recognized the gestures and knew what it was, and felt him forming the characters, the words of his message, secret and personal, that he outlined on her flesh in their private lexicon of passion. His fingertips continued moving, light brush strokes across her skin, leaving his message of desire. Character after cursive character, his erotic chitography continued, the length of her body covering every portion of her sensitive skin in excruciatingly minute detail with her sweat as his ink. Just when she thought that this exquisite torment was finished, he informed his living journal that his missive was not yet done. So she surrendered up her uninscribed surfaces to him. And as his maddeningly gentle calligraphy worked its way back up her now very aroused anatomy, she found she could not keep still under his intensely sensual attentions to her tormented form and his fascination with her languorous, his languorous living ledger. The tracings of his billet-doux on her vibrant vellum would take hours, the two of them time and again, adding to the perspirational ink until his sensual stenography became obscure, incomprehensible, indecipherable in a tangle of luscious limbs and bewildering bedclothes. Their only regret was this delicious dictation. Dictating the duplication of the tantalizing transcription over and over and over again. And
well, that was a beautiful read, Bobby. You know, and this is such a touching poem. You can picture all this as you read through it, you know, and it's a very intimate and involved connection between these two lovers that they share this moment in their secret language. I thought it was a beautiful poem. Excellent read, Bobby. What are your thoughts?
What a wonderful poem to hear for the second time. I love this when I first heard it, and I told Bobby at the time that the poem was alive with the poetry of the skin, a poetry he forms in characters on her. The calligraphy of love as it explores her aroused anatomy, a living paper bursting into flame. And as much as I liked it the first time, God bless, I like it even more this time. I think a second or a third reading sometimes really, really is worthwhile. That first line, a crepuscular light suffused their surroundings. You immediately set the mood, set the tone, giving us a strong indication of what's going to happen. And then you begin building little by little by little what he's doing, this Yosho calligrapher. Although I got to ask you a question. Chirography, what is that?
Chirography?
I wasn't sure how to pronounce it.
Chirography?
Yeah, chirography.
Hang on a second. I had a glossary down at the bottom, and somehow it went away. It's handwriting, especially distinct from typography. But chirography is like it's the study of penmanship and handwriting.
Okay. All right. Good. And you express that, you know, the light brush strokes across your skin. And as I said before, you begin building an excruciatingly minute detail with her sweat as is ink. That is so good. I God bless. I really did enjoy this more the second time, even though I enjoyed it enormously the first. Thanks so much for bringing it back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lauren. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, this is just such an intelligent and brilliant right. All the vocabulary that you use throughout Bobby that describes the writing, you know, the vocabulary that you used here, all those words, just amazing how you incorporated all of the poem. And, I just love, of course, like a Gyosho calligrapher, fingertips continued moving, light brush strokes across her skin, leaving a message of desire. And then, on and on and on, like Laura said, there's a build-up and a build-up and a build-up that you feel that you create through the whole poem. Just an amazing, amazing right here. Just so lovely.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Beautiful comment, Naomi. Thank you. And Lee, what are your thoughts?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this poem that Bobby wrote. It's just like erotic torture, like whispers where the lips just trace lightly somebody's body. You start off here where you said the warm, moisture-laden breeze waft through open windows, making the air in the room feel like bathwater. You were already setting up what was going to be happening. and then you talk about how, you know, this, you know, because it's talent. To me, it's talent, just like a musician plays. Also, a man or a woman that knows how to touch each other's bodies and find out, you know, what it is that will just make them perspire. I just loved how you know, the moisture in the room, the moisture of your bodies, and you know, that I just found that so erotic. And then you start talking about the fingertips, you know, how they lightly brushstroke, and we all know what you're talking about here. You know, every part of your body that you miss makes you shiver and shudder and just moan in just ecstasy. You know, it's almost like torture. It's a kind of type of torture. And, you know, and I thought you caught that there so wonderful. And, you know, how you both then started using your fingers, you know, to pleasure each other, your limbs and luscious limbs. And, you know, you could just see all this tantalizing, and just have it done over and over. It's just, you know, it's almost like you can just hear that over and over. To me, it was like I could just hear the person moaning. This was very satisfying and very passionate and very seductive.
Thank you very much.
Great comment. Thank you. And would you like to say anything about your poem, Bobby?
I just tried to envision if someone were using your prompt is from the test, just write a novel on someone's skin. I envision someone writing on someone's skin, but to me, the characters, the calligraphy characters, the Egyptian characters, much more erotic because it's more mysterious. And the fact that you're writing on someone's body and their perspiration is felt mm-hmm. very intimate. So I just I tried to create this close moment of intimacy between a couple who knows each other and knows what pleasures each other, and is willing to do it over and over and over again, because it's like he keeps writing something and it keeps getting messed up, and so, well, we're going to have to do it over again.
Yeah. Well, it was a beautiful read and an excellent write. So
thank
I've got
you.
Loves Flavored by Sapphire Rose, and she has a SoundCloud.
Love's Flavor by Sapphire Rose. He glides fingertips over flushed skin. Her eyes go wide with sweet expectation. Her seraphic body, unforgettable. He sighs at the sight of her, like relishing the sweet nectar after biting into a lush, ripe piece of fruit as its juice burst upon his tongue. Euphoric. The ebb and flow of his touch sends waves of electricity surging through the full length of her body. Delicate kisses peppered against rubescent skin. Cravings pool in deep places within. Arching backs, soft sighs, resistance has all but gone with meeting of eyes. You pierced me in the heart with a bow and arrow, fashioned out of the wood of a yew tree, Cupid style, cementing our love for all time. Our eyes make love as fingertips write sonnets on exposed skin. Lost in a winter's paradise, standing in front of a fireplace bright, with no demands, no expectations. Lips entwined as cotton and lace slowly cascades to the floor, holding each other close. Two bodies soon become one, heartbeat to heartbeat, a love that radiates hotter than the sun. End poem.
Well, that was a beautiful sound, Cloud. She has an excellent reading voice. And, you know, the poem is touching, it's engaging, it's endearing. It's full of love and reverence throughout the poem. And, you know, you can feel their close bond. As they hold each other close, two bodies soon become one, heartbeat to heartbeat. A love radiates hotter than the sun. Just an epic poem. What did you think, Lauren?
Well, from the second to the, I don't know, fourth or fifth stanza, it had me in the palm of its hand, this poem. See, having it end was a little like coitus interruptus. I was in some faraway place. It was absolutely wonderful. The heat, mm-hmm. but the romantic heat that inhabits this poem. Our eyes make love as fingertips write sonnets on exposed skin, lost in a winter's paradise. I mean, oh, sometimes you read a poem and the words flow so well, like, you know, effort against luminescence. That's nicely done. And the waves of electricity, yeah, I felt a little bit of that. Great piece.
Thank you, Lauren. Wonderful comment. And Naomi, what are your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start? this has been so amazing. The size of the sight of it, like we're relishing the sweet nectar after biting mm-hmm. into a ripe piece of fruit as its juice bursts upon his tongue. And then, you know, here, you know, and then I just love a stand by the fireplace, right, with no demands, no expectations, no lip to the wine is cotton and lace slowly cascades the floor. You know, I love this piece all throughout. Just, you know, an awesome, you know, so passionate and so loving and tender piece here by Sapphire. Just, you know, just so superb.
Absolutely wonderful comment, Naomi. And Lou, what did you think?
I loved listening to her read this, and I love everybody's comments. You know, I like how she, she talks about how, you know, he glides fingertips over flesh skin. Her eyes go wide in sweet expectation because she knows what's coming. You know, I liked how she, this is very natural. It's like if you were making love outside, that same stanza that Naomi read, which I just found so deliciously erotic, it made your mouth water, where, you know, she talked about the pieces of fruit, euphoric, you know, where making love is, it is, it's like a drug. It's a natural drug where he's kissing her. I like the yew tree, which she talks about in the bottom. The yew tree is another native tree when druids held sacred in pre-Christian times. The dropping branches of the old yew trees can root and form new trunks where they touch the ground. Thus, they yew came to symbolize death and resurrection in Celtic culture. You know, to me, this is, you know, also when you're making love, that, you know, that the little death where we do in some ways grow into each other. Like she says here, holding each other close, two bodies can become one, heartbeat to heartbeat, a love that radiates hotter than the sun. And isn't that so? Gray?
Sorry.
Hello?
I was mutated. Bobby, what did you think? Great comment, Lydia.
Oh, this is beautiful piece. Very, very passionate. Very intelligently written. I mean, the use of language is so beautifully expressive and yet precise. It involves all of the senses: touch, taste, to smell. I mean, like relishing the sweet nectar after a ripe piece of fruit. I mean, what that you read that and you begin to salivate. At the ebb and flow of his touch. This is a piece that is just in its own subtly sensuous and erotic way. It is a joyful a celebration of making love with someone that you just totally blend with. I mean, this is joy in touching the person, joy in pleasuring them and letting them pleasure you. And it's our eyes make love as fingertips write sonnets on exposed skin. That is so beautiful, with no a fireplace bright, with no demands, no expectations. Lips entwine as cotton and lace slowly cascade to the floor. This is not only this is beautiful storytelling, but it is a beautiful tale of two people really completely enjoying one another and enjoying making each other happy. It's a wonderful, really wonderful write.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bobby. Okay, I've got the next poem up, and it's by Weaver of Dreams, and she has the SoundCloud. So we'll play that. There we go.
I am aware. I push him to reach a level of light and fluid color, abstract beauty, with lines that follow, flow, delineate each hollow with the palest lilac, a blush of pink. Each tiny puncture mark holds pigments rarer than azure skies, topaz hues, bands and swathes, loops and swirls begin and end upon me. This pain must have meaning, holding vision and intent, as each nip of the liner needle alters, changes, while the intervention of the shaders evolves, elevates. I am his canvas. Each part of me is his to invent. He lays upon me a rolling vista, tempered only by the steel of his will. He knows his truth sits well with me.
Beautiful read. Fantastic poem as well. I really like, you know, that she is his canvas and that, you know, he paints a landscape upon her, a rolling vista upon her, tempered only by the steel of his will. He knows his truth sits well with her. It's a fantastic poem. What did you think, Laurent?
I was much taken with the first few lines. I'm aware I push him to reach a level of light and fluid color, abstract beauty, the lines that follow, flow, delineate each hollow with the palest lilac, a blush of pink. She describes it so beautifully, which is, I've always been scared to get a tattoo, because I don't like pain. So I probably never will get one, but those people who can endure, God bless them, because they are a canvas upon which is laid the steel of his will, well, not just the steel of his will, but the steel of the person being tattooed as well. A beautiful piece and a wonderful last line. He knows his truth sits well with me.
Absolutely, Mark. And Naomi, what are your thoughts? Hello, Naomi? Oh, she's dropped. Okay. Lee, what are your thoughts?
I love hearing Weaver of Dreams read her poetry, and it's even more impactful when she's writing something very passionate and sensual. You know, as she starts off that she's aware that she pushes him to a level of light and fluid. You know, I just thought that was beautiful. And then she talks about all the colors and
all the swirls and the different things that, you know, it takes to do a tattoo, because a tattoo is also, a tattooist is also an artist, you know, and it is painful, but, you know, she says, I am his canvas, each part of me is his to invent. I love that. He lays upon me a rolling vista, tempered only by the still of his will. He knows his truth sits well with me. You know, for me, you know, I was just thinking, you know, that she is the controlled artist that is painting the vistas, but her passion is something that he understands. You know, I especially thought about that, you know, that she's very passionate and he knows how to temper and to color those images upon not only her body, but also her soul and her heart and her mind.
Beautiful comment, Lou. Thank you. And Bobby, your thoughts? Did we lose Bobby too? Oh, yeah, she's there. Hi, Bobby. Did you get a chance to read?
Oh, yes. The rude technology just decided to drop me.
Yeah,
it always does.
Bitch.
You tell her, Bobby.
It's like that pushy woman that talks out of the cash register at the self check. Yeah. Take your items. Go away. Okay. Yes, I really enjoyed this. I did the visual imagery. First off, there's a superb SoundCloud, beautifully read. She has a great reading voice. Mm. I love her descriptions on this. Each puncture mark holds pigments rarer than azure skies, topaz hues, bands and swaths, loops and swirls begin and end upon me. I mean, it paints such a beautifully descriptive picture, and the pain must have meaning, holding vision and intent, and it just reminded me also of some of the other areas where we've experienced, like the kinbaku, which was the the Japanese rope binding. Again, this is someone surrendering their control over to someone else, allowing their body to be their canvas. Only this has a lot more permanence than the kinbaku. But this is still someone just allowing themselves to be the medium upon which another artist expresses themselves. And that, to me, describes a tremendous amount of trust. I'm his canvas. Each part of me is his to invent. Again, that I agree, the last line, he knows his truth sits well with me. That is such an exquisite ending. This is a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Bobby. And thank you, everybody, for calling in to share your heart, your mind, your voices, and most especially your time tonight. I appreciate you all. Much love, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Oh, challenge.
Buenas noches. Good night.